Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yes, welcome at Home Minister!
This is the ballad of Mrs. Begg.
Right, I don't own the rights to that. I'm going to phone somebody.
How are you? Ford fucking Keelan.
Oh, this is the biggest hero, man.
Mad, isn't it?
You were the nation's sweetheart. He's now taking over for you. I'm sorry about
that. I know, but you're young, you're good looking, you've got time to go. I'm getting that older. Woman that's looking at me now.
Oh, I like that and all.
George Clooney audience.
I like that.
They go for, oh, you like that and all. That's a
by the way, congratulations on winning Strictly Come Dancing.
Bill Bailey knew, is it? I've got a wee bit more hair than Bill Bailey. No, he's doing great. I'm not known outside Scotland. That's the one good thing. They don't phone you up to ask you to do Strictly.
Would you do stuff like that?
Strictly Come Dancing. I look the colour of it, don't I? I would wind up, but see, by the time I get my front door in the house, that's enough for me. Yeah. No.
But I must say, you look like a West End hipster a bit.
I live in the West End. I don't know about a hipster, but people are saying that their hair's as long because of hairdressers, but no, all the barbers and that are open. But it's about £40 to get a haircut up here, and I normally pay a fiver, so I wouldn't give them it around here. So I've been having a wee go myself, but I just keyed up.
He's got a wee guy.
Absolutely. No, the wee guy.
Jesus, we're doing the back of your head.
Who's the wee groggers could cut his hair, couldn't he?
Oh, we could get a wee guy.
A wee guy called wee groggers.
No, he does.
Let me write that down.
No, here.
Get hair done by groggers.
Fortunately, he does. What? Well, he's a cracker, right? See, when you cut your hair. Uh-huh. Play wee groggers. That's your nickname for it.
And you keep going.
I like it.
You can't get enough of it. So let's get this established for the get go. You're like, what, young women, older women.
And groggers.
Nice, aye.
See what you've got yourself in for you.
It's an odd magazine to try and hunt down that. I've seen all the other ones, but the groggers and the haircuts and old women and young women.
See, with the amount of time you've had in the house in lockdown and all that, have you ever thought about another still game script?
Oh, great question, Paul.
Because I'm gutted it's gone.
That's a great question. I've noticed I've been watching a lot of telly, and I've noticed that whether anybody asks you a shit question or no, you've got to reply by saying, "Do you know, that's a great question." And I'm glad you asked that. No, never in a fucking million years. No, it's done.
So what do you do about ideas that come into your head now?
Well, it depends what it is. I mean, if it's a sitcom idea, then you'd maybe try and write it down and try and get some TV station interested in it. But that's not really what's been. Once you've done a sitcom, you're kind of reluctant to pen another one straight away because, apart from anything else, there's a comparison thing, isn't there? You go on and the public immediately say, "Oh, it's not the same as Still Game." So there needs to be a period of time that you leave a thing, like Tune of Fat as well. You would leave a thing before you would embark on that type of thing again.
Would you ever think about writing a sitcom about a 29-year-old guy that still stays with his mum and dad? Called Still Him.
Maybe they could keep in contact with that because that doesn't happen to anybody. It's only dafties that happen to him. Maybe they would be able to. You still know who's in
the house? No, I've actually got a big place up the West End.
Yeah. Do you do your Sarah Hoover?
Absolutely.
Right, okay, absolutely. Ruin my bed, aye.
I mean, you could get a wee show together.
Oh, wow.
Old women, young women, and guys like me.
you two are both West End. You could start hanging about with each other.
Aye. But how long have you been in the West End?
2 years now.
Oh, for goodness sake, no.
Just getting used to it now.
No, I'm dying. I've got West End under my fingernails. I'm here 20-odd year.
I've
been here longer than I was in Denison, aye.
So that means you grew up in Denison?
I grew up in Denison. I was born in Shettleston and grew up in Denison.
So you're like an Ed, huh?
Not everybody in Denison is a Ned. I would never have said full-blown Ned, but I hung about with plenty of them. So most of the thing I managed to get written down later on was coming from the right place. I'd heard it on.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But then what is a Ned? How do you define it?
We're Neds.
Well,
the wee Neds that was on, the wee guy that was on Still Game, the wee guys that Remember they cut the.
Are you want me to go through the class and go Ned, Ned, middle
good
class,
guy, good
Ned,
guy,
Ned.
Guy. Ned. Kev, highlight the football calendar 2020. You got one?
I was going to run through that for you, but never mind.
No, so your knowledge of football is obviously fucking more than ours.
Aye, well.
Obviously Scotland, our own country, qualifying for European Championship.
I did hear that. I heard that in the phone. I'm not picking bits off, you know. I did.
Oh, there's plenty
me.
Of pick off him then.
No. Somebody did phone me and say, at Scotland through, and I went, what for? I'm telling you, it's never even on
so
the
what, you never watched the game on the telly, or
what? When Scotland I'm interested in, whenever they qualified for the World Cup and stuff like that, and Scotland as a team, whether it be rugby or, you know, whatever they're doing, if it's Scotland, obviously I'm up in front watching it. Right, can we get part two of this before we get in it?
No, we're actually
we're in it.
So it's going to be a big party summer next summer.
We're getting a bus and going down to Wembley, if you fancy.
I'm not up for that, no.
Who's the guy that played Hagrid? Your mate?
Robbie Coltrane.
He's going to drive it. Remember he drove the bus? You had a donut. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, you had a donut.
Right. Do you want to put a wee hole through here so you can pull my piss off of there? Right, that'll save you. That'll save you trying to get out of here. Well, I'll just hang it out.
Hey, that's enough. I'm not going to
do you hate
it
when people are up your arse?
What's that?
Do you hate it when people are up your arse?
Well, I know when somebody started to take a fucking piss out of me. I'm no daft.
No, honestly.
No, he's genuinely a big fan.
Is Robbie Coltrane going to come and drive your bus for
I'm
you?
Going to try
did you make
it,
that up,
No,
you?
We're going to try, actually. Yeah. We're going to try.
Just try after you mentioned it there, or had you tried before?
No, I think we're going to try it. The guy's behind. He's going to try it.
Stop looking at me. I'll answer them. I'm shite myself.
They're in their right mind would give a comedian a free bus in London to drive a bit. You get off your nut with it. Get through Hamleys with it.
Si, can you tell him that I do love Still Games? I feel I'm going to shite myself.
He does love Still Game. He does love it.
Don't get me mixed up with a big man. Honestly, I'm a safety.
No, you're not. I can tell you. I think he's going to
snap at me in a minute.
Oh,
he's got a chip.
It's
confidence, isn't it?
How come you're not a football at all? Like a Glasgow guy grew up in Denniston.
I can tell you why. It's dead easy to answer because, you know what Celtic, what team, was it Celtic you played for?
You played for us.
And
I
played for Rangers.
Right, okay, well, it's like, when you come out of Celtic Park, there's exits that take you into the Gallagher and into the Carlton, right? But there's another big street called Millicent Street that runs right up to Duke Street.
Yep.
And where it comes out at Duke Street, there's two pubs. There's a Bristol Bar, which you'll be familiar with as a Rangers player, and there's the Crown Crichton.
His face is on the dartboard in there, huh?
And they've got the Crown Crichton, which is the Celtic pub. So, and they were, my living room Monday was right at the corner. Now, whenever a big game finished in Celtic Park, or whatever, but Celtic Park, all the windy shutters would go down, like the gun, 5 minutes before a gunfight, corral, right? Okay, corral. Down they would come, cafe shut, everything, and then this sea would come up Millicent Street and spill out onto Duke Street exactly where my windy was. And my mum would be like, come back for the windy, but I couldn't keep away from it. Looking at the windy, and there'd be mayhem under the windy. Now, obviously, because I'm wanting a comedy game and I'm a writer, I'm prone to exaggeration, but I'm not exaggerating this. They were battering into one another with knives and everything. It was common every time we were a big game on. Slashing, stabbing, polos getting done in, motors getting rolled out on top of one another. And I'm not exaggerating, it was utter mayhem. And anybody who lived in Denniston will back that up. So, I was about 8 year old, I thought to myself, no, I'm not wanting to get involved. It was near the violence, because that looked like a good one. Well, there was people dropping money and fished up. I was like, you could do a maneuver up, bottle of beer. Anyway, but no, I thought to myself, nah, I don't really want to be part of that whole thing.
You and big mates with Jim Baxter, weren't you?
Well, no, it was...
That's a cracker.
Well, no, my uncle used to play, what do you call it, golf with him. And... I get a chance to caddy for him a number of times, a couple of summers. I didn't know who he was, and he was annoyed about it. And he said, you can know him. And I went, no, I'm just Baxter. And I went, I was in his pub, never. I knew he had a pub and that, because my uncle would go there and play pool. And I was about 12 or 13, and I hadn't the first idea who he was. And but he was brand new, and he was, what a golfer. And he only had half a set in the bag. That was the other thing. It was there a big thing to caddy for him. It was a heavy job. He'd a putter, a couple of irons, he could play half it. But then somebody told me that Mace, you guys will know this to be right, Mace, anybody that's working with rune things are usually good at other sports, like say that boy, what's the snooker player?
Ronnie O'Sullivan?
No, the young boy, the Scottish boy, he was only 16 when he won
Stephen
it.
Henry.
Stephen Henry's a top-notch golfer. And apparently everybody, anybody that's involved in that kind of would you agree?
He's good at I
play off six golf and then darts I fucking hit. I've had 10 darters, 11 darters.
Well, you see, problem, finishes.
The darts, so he was flying them on his
There's a bit of video footage kicking about. Me and Greg were doing something for Kit the Kirsty Watt show and we had to go down to Hampden Park. To the training ground at Hampden Park, that's what it was. Kind of red ash affair, right? And we had dinner suits on. I don't know what it was about, but to go down and talk to the grounds manager, we spoke to a couple of football manager guys, I don't know who they were, but they seemed to want it anyway, and we were doing it. And it was some celebration about something, so we had dinner suits on, which was going to make it funnier. Anyway, at the end of the thing, Greg's still got this videotape, and he pisses himself laughing at it regularly when he's fed up. And they set it up for us, right, for the final shot, guys, say, thanks very much, join us next week. He says, Greg, you kick the ball out at Ford. Ford, you run up with the ball. He says, there's a goalie in here, but he's not even going to make an attempt at trying to catch the ball. He says, you put it in the back of the England bag, end of story. And I'm like, ah. Right, so, well, see you next week. Kicks the ball out of me. By the way, hired tuxedo, and I might say. I'm running down, it's too tight for me. I'm running down, right? I take a boot at it. I miss the ball completely. Upend myself and landed on the white line. Should have, right? I couldn't get the fucking chalk out the jacket. And he was trying to make out on the day, oh, you're right, fella, you're right, you okay, let me help you up now. Me going to take back to the house, I freeze framed it bit by bit by bit. And as I'm tumbling around me, right, got four and his best pal, he's going, we're freeze framing it. As I'm going down, I could have been breaking my neck. And he plays it for fun now, and he digs it up every now and again. He always threatens me he's got to put it on YouTube. That's how bad I'm at football.
But he asked you once if you were watching an Old Firm game.
He asked me if I was watching an Old Firm game. I'm sick of admitting this, but I said I didn't know who. I asked him who was playing. I don't know what that means.
That's not right, man.
I mean, I know what it means. But no, I don't much care. And as I say, I got to meet some of the, because of the other boys in the show, got to meet some of the Lisbon Lions fellas, the guys that played in there.
He's up there with the Lisbon Lions in terms of Celtic's history.
Is that right?
He's part of the nine in a row. So it's, if we date this year 10, that'll be the first time in history. So if we do that, we'll be right up there, won't we?
10 titles, 10 leagues. Right.
So it's a big
part of that.
See, the people that watch this or listen to this podcast will be going, No, I'm not, seriously. Mm-hmm. I know about the nine in a row thing because you've never done shouting and bawling about it. I know that. Every time Celtic, it goes along with that. Yeah. I mean, that's a thing people know if you don't know anything about football.
So, see, how did you go through the stand up to writing still chewing the fat first?
I met Greg along the way. Greg was part of a comedy troupe as well called the Three Men Brothers Trio Troupe, which was three guys, and they were funny, and they won the Fringe Award for their comedy, and we'd won an award. Nothing as good as that, though. But ended up, we were all together, and either working for the BBC or drinking together in the Oran Moor or whatever, and then we started writing wee jokes for football programmes, of all things, like on the ball and off the ball. And I found out that, you see, this is the irony of me knowing anything about football, because the next thing that became available was there was a wee opportunity for somebody to come in and do a couple of voices on the radio. And then they said, oh, well, you know, I said, what do these guys sound like? It doesn't matter what they sound like. The guy's Dutch. The football manager's name's Dutch. Here's a joke. Sure, I would just go in and do a voice like this and that would seem to do it. And that cover the gag. And then we'd write Mary them. And then they'd say, you need to do Gaza. And I'm like, I don't want to do Gaza. Because you can buy a number of years. So somebody else would do Gaza, and then maybe just thought, but we get 2 years out of that gig.
Wow.
And all we were doing were writing jokes, other people's jokes, and reading them as part of that show. It still runs off the ball.
Because he presented off the ball, didn't he?
Greg did for a while. Uh-huh. It's Tam Cowan and
Stuart Cosgrove.
But then Greg does know his sport. Greg knows his stuff.
So see, for there, is that how you got into sort of chewing the fat?
No, it became... started to become clear within the building that they were looking for ideas for radio shows. And I know you said you were Tune the Fat, but we were on the radio we did about 60 radio Tune the Fats before that.
He's also known that Still Game was a play before it was on the TV.
Was it?
Aye. No, he told me that since I can't even remember that.
He's done his research.
No, but they, so we went, all right, well, you and me could do a radio show. So it was basically us just talking, right? And playing records. What a cheat. Because they're paying you money and all your days playing somebody else's record, covering the time. So we'd have an hour show that we would do every Saturday. And of course, it sounds really I sound ancient here, but it was before the internet. So the only feedback you could get to see if it was working was the taxi drivers. So you did tune the fat and it would go. Then you get in the taxi, go up the road, and the boys would go, I was just listening to that tune of fat on the radio there. You're like, ah, that's us. Because nobody knew who we were working the radio. But that was the only place you could find out if the jokes were working. Because taxi drivers and, I don't know, people at the radio and all the day, bus drivers, that people that were listening to the radio all day were the only ones that could tell you whether the jokes were working or whether they weren't working.
Nah. Well, see, when you were just, when did you realise that it was going to go as big as it did?
I knew right away. I went out and I bought an enormous house on the strength, on the strength of the £17.50 a week job. I went, this is me for life. I thought, there's, fuck Denison. There's then I thought, I've got a big house, six bedrooms, fuck it, I've got a job in Radio Scotland. I'm going to go off my nut. Ferrari, two of them. I fucking knew right away.
Here, I'm not asking again. I'm fucking petrified to speak.
On his question,
he's all over him.
See, on his question, which is you're obviously saying you're getting your feedback from taxi drivers, right?
Aye, people are.
So, as a collective, at what point did you think...
I'll get him jumping on the taxi driver.
As a collective, how did somebody decide that there's enough fucking taxi drivers talking about it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, the BBC's quite an old... Well, always has it, tries to modernise itself, but it's still at heart got the old-fashioned thing. So people still phone in, or used to... still phone in or write in, you know, and they say, well, that was a good show, we can get better than that. So they were kind of culminating that, checking their ratings, feedback for the man in the street, what's the guy saying in the pubs, and more people in pubs would be listening to it, you know, talking about it, and then they started to realise, well, then we started pushing, can we get a telly out of this, and they said, aye. So they gave us a sketch show, and we just tried to get it. If you ever see the first ones of Tune the Fat, it's me and Greg sitting on a couch, like, let's set up. We had a couple of cardigans on acting as if we're all fucking cool and play a few sketches and that. But we soon realised they're not interested in us chatting. They're wanting sketches. So the next series was all sketches, no chat. Nothing like the radio. And then that was the year 2000. We got asked to do the panto at the Kings, which we did. And during the panto, they started shouting out, going to no do that, you see? And that was, us. I'm telling you, wow. The first time we knew that it had caught on. And that had been running for about a year. And a couple of people had said it to me before, but we'd never seen an audience doing it. And they were doing it when we weren't on the stage, and all, going, oh, doing it. And the other actors were going, what is that they're fucking shouting about? I went, it's a daft, what is that? And we're going, oh, doing that. And they said, you can't let me stop doing it because it's fucking. No. And you're good in the show, and I'm here to see the Emperor. I'm like, I'm not doing that. And it's equivalent. No, you did that. Do you know what I mean? These things can come and bite your ass, you know. Because, I mean, I think the Celtic team at one point, had milk, lemonade,
chocolate.
That was when they won the league. Aye. And I remember somebody saying to me, they've got, and I went, why are all the catchphrases? Of course, I see them doing it. Got milk, lemonade, chocolate, and all that. And I thought, that's brilliant.
Uh-huh. Right, are you all right?
You got another question?
Can you praise it? Can you give him a bit of praise, please?
You seem worried about something. What are you worried about?
I just
about?
Want to keep on asking you. I'm just scared in case you bite down my throat.
I'm not going to bite you, but I mean, am I getting the impression that I'm hostile? Am I?
Quentin, see the day, right, I'm going to go for it now.
Right.
See the day, see, so you used to always do the New Year special, but it still came.
Aye.
Could we do a wee scene?
Oh, yes.
A new day. But you,
he's hating this idea, I can tell.
No, please, because I know, I mean, you've not got after a good fit, right? But aye. I can see us two going along the line working together. But just before all that,
aye.
Can we do a wee take the day, a New Year take? Maybe a wee 5-minute sketch or a wee gag.
Of what?
You're the man in charge of it.
In charge of what?
You're editing the scene.
What the fuck are you on about?
he wants to act to you.
I tell you what, Dave, right? When you go to the toilet, right? Have a think about what you're talking about, right? Write it down a bit of paper in the form of a proposal and bring it back here like a fucking regular person instead of asking about me. Jesus, fuck. You get any money ask?
By the way, he's been a bit snappy. Why?
Go into character mode as the big man and just fucking shout at him.
Fucking raging now.
I'm not raging. What is it? Tell me.
Right, so what do you want to ask? I just want to sketch.
Fuck the idea.
Do that's how we wrote you in the fight. Every second one went like that.
Fuck it. You want to get an accent, don't you?
I'm trying to help you, honestly.
I'm going to go again.
Go again. Try.
No, because I feel
everybody,
that...
Everybody shoots you out.
No, because I feel you're teaming up here to go again. You've got to go, fuck off.
No. I would never do that.
Wait, see, next time, like see if you don't even know, please just so you know.
Right. Here we go.
Remember the scenes you used to date in New Year? The New Year specials?
Vividly,
right?
Uh-huh.
Can you do a wee one with us today for the audience at home?
Oh, yes. Wait, it's went for him to... It didn't involve us, it's you.
Right. What's that about?
Dildo arms back.
That's where you come in.
What?
I want to pluck your brains today.
Pluck your brains?
Pluck my brains. You're going to take two running plucks for yourself. I'm not doing fuck all like that. Say something else.
What would you like to...
What sketch do you like?
I want to fucking show to end right now.
No, you don't. You're having a lovely time, mate.
No, you're a cracking guy. Deep down, you're a lovely guy.
Deep down.
Show him the shoes.
Oh, dear, lovely.
Unbelievable, isn't
it? Turn my toe down a bit. The Balenciaga.
Can't hide money, can you?
Is that what they are?
Aye. No, Ben Sherman there.
Ben Sherman,
that's what he called. See on the characters, see Tam, he is like, everybody's got one of them in the family, pure tight, isn't he?
Aye, well, I've got one. I've got a pal, Martin, who is as tight as that. And we actually wrote, me and Greg sat down and spoke about that, and we wrote a couple of Martin's genuine stories in there. There's a few. Well,
how can you be that tight?
Well, I'm trying to give you one that's fresh, never mind we've been used before. Aye, right, here's one. Martin before, he's a priest now, Martin.
Right.
And Martin was a... used to run the university, Glasgow University, down the road there. And one of the guys that was running the bars in there came in one day, his face was tripping him. Martin went, where have you been? Back of two, you should have been back in here at back of one. He went, he says, I've gambled all my money, I went in a fruit machine. He says, is there an ombudsman for a fruit machine? Martin says, I don't know. What do you mean you gambled all your money? He went, 90 quid. And the bastard's name gives us a nudge. He went, you're off your head for stunning day and not putting all that money in a machine, you see? He says, where was this? He says, Noble's Amusements. He says, in Dumbarton Road. He says, right, back your work. Man, get in the car. Drove down to the fucking amusements. Put 3 quid in it and got 45 quid out of it. Right, and back up the road. That's the kind of level he works at. So whenever we were talking about Martin, that's Tam.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's super, super miserable. Always got an eye on the other thing.
Have you got a favourite episode of Stilgie?
Aye. It would be the, well, two really. There's drama. I think it was only the other night. Which is when we won tickets to go to a distillery.
The whiskey tasting.
It was just hilarious for the start to the end of the day, because we ended up pushed in real life because it was a real distillery. So we got the business done, we got all the work done, but there was a certain part of the show where we were the guy to bring out halves for everybody. So all the extras were there; they were all getting cold tea. But I said to the guy, the props guy. I said, listen, stick it to a couple of halves. I says, it's 1 o'clock now. You've got a lot of director. Is that all right? Fucking all right. It's your show. Give a couple of halves. So me and Greg get the two halves put in. But they were all in amongst the cold teas. So managed to locate them anyway the first time. Then the next time, the director goes, Michael says, listen, I don't think it's a good idea to be taken, because we're doing this scene about 8 or 9 times during this. He says, and you're getting a half every time. He says to the props guy, name it that, and fucking warning him, we'll get sacked. Okay. So he got a wee packet, you know, them wee dots, you get a wee sticky dots, uh-huh. He's putting things. He got a packet of them, and there's about 16 cold teas, and the two wee orange dots under the two ones. He's like,
that's yours.
So every time we knew, they were going like, Michael's trying to mix them up. No, so we couldn't fund them. We knew exactly where they were. So the end scene on that, where I'm standing at a bus, and I've knocked a bottle of whiskey, the Clark Gable whiskey. We were howling, so because we had to wait for darkness to come, to wait for a note to get the door. Well, we'd done that before. You've got to sit in a Winnebago thing to wait till the light's right. You're inside a distillery for 10 minutes. You can get three different ones to try. We're sitting like that. So the time we get back out on that, we're going to get 2 months to say. 2 months.
Are you a whiskey drinker?
No, I'm not.
What was the other favourite episode you did too?
The other one was Fly Society, where we were making out, we had a few quid in order to go to a big country manor house.
Right.
And it was a laughy start to finish, because it was a big manor house. That's the one where Tam says to the butler, take that poker out your ass. And that was the first time I could be ever said on TV, take that poker out your ass. And we just got away with murder there. It was great. With Una McLean and older actresses and things that we wanted to work with. That was the other good thing about it. We got to work with a lot of people that we admired, that we'd seen growing up, to come into the show. I mean, Robbie Coltrane, obviously his age is well as anyway, but Robbie Coltrane came in as a bus driver. And with loads of people, Celia Imrie, and the fella that was in Doctor Who, Sylvester McCoy and all of them. And, we got a guest to come in every week. It was great. We had a good time.
See that Fly Society one, was that the one, Easter Mombasa?
Easter Mombasa,
mate, that was genius.
Because
is that the one, Willie, Tadger, Boz?
Oh, I mean, they come in to try and get old board games. Aye, aye, aye.
I'm relaxing.
Yeah, he's, you're in your flat.
The guy
you're back in the game, Slaney.
We got introduced to the bit in the story is when we got introduced to the guy that owns the house. He goes, do you do hunting, big game hunting yourself, boys? And we went, hey, no, but we did kick a giraffe to death one time. these are the things you've got to run by the BBC. I know, is it all right to say that? But that is a bit of a murder.
We get the same one.
You couldn't kick a giraffe on the telly to death today. No. Just wouldn't let you. These snowflakes would be up in arms about it.
Could you still get away with what you've done then, now?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. And because I think some of the chewing the fat stuff, you couldn't.
No, what sort of ones?
Well, the likes of Karen pulling her skirt up with a, you want a squatch of my fanny.
Fanny, that was brilliant. I don't think you boys still standing there at the end, didn't
he? Aye, because I think that whole sketch just wouldn't. I remember we did get letters at the time and said, somebody wrote in and said, as funny as the nation thought that sketch was, would that sketch work if it was two wee lassies at the van and they were asking the man to get his cock out? And me and Greg went, no, it wouldn't be as funny. And so the point was made, don't write any more sketches like that. So we didn't. So, you know what I mean?
My favourite on Chewing the Fat's the two posh guys that go to Chippies and.
Oh, just, the two.
We're here for the banner. Aye, right? Aye, that's right, fucking outstanding, aye. Man.
Well,
sausage, man. That was me doing the Chippies.
They're in the back of a taxi going like, oh, every time the guy said, I'll turn the left here, I'll get the back here. Oh, keep the change. We're just for the banter. But the. We didn't write them. That was a guy, Rob Christie, that wrote them.
Really?
who was a friend of ours who was in that gang with Greg. He now runs a comedy unit. He's the gaffer there, and hilarious stuff. And of course, the guys for Burnison, Florence McConnell, wrote a stack of stuff for Chewing the Fat. They were part on the writing team. Their stuff was magic. I think the big man was theirs. Another guy called Ian Davidson, Noddy Davidson, wrote that.
That was brilliant. That was in football for a bit, dressing
aye,
and stuff like that.
I still get that.
Do you, right?
Aye.
Do you get arseholes quoting you all the time?
No, it's all good stuff. But if you say something like, if you pronounce something the correct way, instead of, I don't know, like, if you say arsehole instead of the arsehole, we'll go, oh, listen, you eating educated. You can't say anything remotely presumptuous, or otherwise somebody will go like that.
Is that the one you get the most?
Oh, well, we used to get a lot worse. That took a lot to die down because Greg and I would be walking up and down just in Byers Road in the summer in our van. Hey, a couple of fannies. I suppose that's part of the deal, man. And then, we made it worse. And Gavin said to us, you know, what are you bitching about? You know, it's, you know, he was not long in bitching a couple of years later when Still Game came along because he can't go anywhere without somebody saying, he's 2 pints, right. You prick. You know, and you've got to go, I know. Oh, that's good you remembered.
You said he's made it worse. Did you deliberately make it worse?
No, well, you could, good point. That was a great question.
Right, see when you're
seriously, because that was part of something that happened because we did toy for a while of taking Winston's other leg off. Because we took one leg off him because he was saying, how's that going to work? Well, be a prosthetic leg, obviously. We had to speak about it amongst us. And he went, no, I think I'll be all right with that. But there's going to need to be strapping up. I went, well, from time to time, there's going to have to be, depending on what angle we need to be at. It was tough, you know what I mean, for him. Especially on the stage when we're in the hydro, because that's what he'd be strapped up. You know yourself, you got a cramp. You've got to get your leg out straight. His leg strapped to his back. Just so that we could do sketches and stuff like that. It was tough. But we said that if he ever gave us any grief, or if he gave us a hard time about gags or whatever, we just cut the other leg off him and that would be a wheelchair bound for the rest of the series. He's like, that suits me. That'll do me. Give us a wheelchair, it'll save me fucking long. Some cast members asking for things. Can I get my hair off?
See the sketch with a manager and assistant manager? You've said you're not into football. But that actually, you would be so surprised at how real that is.
I know, and we didn't realise, and again, that was something somebody turned in on a bit of paper, and we looked at it and went, what's the drill here? And it's a silent sketch. The manager's there and you're copying the manager. And I'm like, how's that work? And they went like, well, that's what they do. They do that, did it? I went, right, just copy that, fair enough. So we could do it to some football part somewhere. And the beauty of that was, football alienates people. I don't mean for religion. Just but if you're not into football, you're not into it.
Yeah.
But this, without being a silent sketch, that went all over the place. There was people in Europe watching that because it was the same as, you know, there's no language barrier. Aye. So it just kind of landed. Yeah. And every time, people just assumed that I knew about football or we knew about football. No, but it was just, I still see that sketch for time to time. It still makes me laugh. I can't even remember doing that sketch.
It's probably better that you maybe that you maybe didn't know much about football because your mannerisms and the way that you do it.
So tell you that.
Aye, tell. Didn't tell you? No, just to well, tell you that it's didn't
poor,
know.
It's a poor guy because he's like,
getting on the other guy.
Fucking get there, you bum. Do you know what I mean? And then we didn't know how to finish it. And I thought, you spit your chewing gum out and I'll spit it in your face. That's how we get it. Yeah.
What managers, assistant managers?
Gary Parker, Lenny. See, every time Lenny said something, like genuinely like 5 seconds later, he would say the exact same thing.
But just try and word it a wee bit different.
It's exactly, I think most assistants are like that though, aren't they?
But it was Stuart Kettlewell that just got the sack at the weekend and that boy...
Ferguson.
They used to do that and it was... Like,
people would show the sketch next
to... would show the sketch next to these two Ross County managers.
Aye.
Because they were just a carbon copy of what you guys were doing. Aye. Brilliant.
I had the opposite, certainly like with Tony Mowbray. Right. So Tony Mowbray would come up and tell you one thing and Mark Venus, who was his assistant manager, would come and say, fucking forget what he's just told you there, do this. And you're like, what the fuck did I do?
Aye, aye. The other thing, we did spend some time with football players for things, but I can't even remember what it was supposed to be because the likes of the Oran Moore and that, sometimes it would be football players would show up. But when you all get together, believe it or not, you talk too fast. I can hardly understand what you are saying. I mean, I'm from the East End. Uh-huh. I talk fast. But see when football players get together, I mean, you're off in different places, Glasgow, Edinburgh, but you know what I mean? But you said, when I knew I was coming down here, I went, I'll get this on the, I'll dig this up on and have a look at it, you know, so I know what I'm getting into.
Right.
And I've put it on, and it was you and Frank McAvaney, and you were there. It's like the Wizard of Oz. You were there, and you were there, and so were you, Toto. And that was what it was like. What the fuck are they talking about?
That's just because.
What the fuck am I going to get in here?
That was just because Frank was on. He didn't let anybody fucking speak.
Did you meet a lot of famous people through tune the fact that I actually loved it, like big football players?
Lorraine Kelly was on it.
She doesn't play football.
Can you come here every week, please? Okay. I need somebody like you here, mate.
You're the first man to ever keep him quiet.
No, I've seen her past a few boys, I don't think she'd be any good at football.
By the way, Joe, you've done him though. You're not going to hear from him for about 2 weeks. He'll be under his bed covers for 2 weeks.
I'll be hiding. That's just, I've looked forward to this day for fucking ages now. I just want it to fucking finish right now.
I know, it started off a bit knacky, but it's getting a bit loving now, isn't it?
Where do you like to hang about the West End so you can...
Well, it was always...
I'll come up with yours after.
No bother at all.
We need to sort this out.
Have you got a piano in your house?
I have got a piano in my house.
You can play.
Here, I think we could do a wee song later, no? Because you see your songs you play... No, before you shout at me. before you get naggy.
It's not that. I've got your card mapped already. I've always kind of prided myself being able to sum people up in the first 10 minutes of meeting them.
Yeah.
You're a fucking chancer. And you've got nothing. Leave me alone. What is this? Fucking loose women? What did you do for Christmas? What did you do for Christmas? Did you put up a tree? Did you put your tree up tight in? Geez, peace.
Oh, amazing, man. What was it? Nice.
Right, Stanley, that's
did
a
you
wrap.
Just say you've been done in to me there?
Oh, so you're getting done in?
You're fucking dead. 10 minutes for me, you'll be dead.
Right. Oh, amazing, man. What about nights out? Still game nights out?
Well, we went to the Box? What a night we had that. It's a couple of years ago. There's a tune in the pub, the tune called The Box, and the day they've got a still game drinks menu. You can get a tam, you can get an eyes in, they make cocktails and that. Anyway, they invited us down one night and we all put shirts on and we went. Unusual for us to do it all together at one time, but we went, what a night that turned out. It was a pub quiz is what it was. We came 15th, some young boy won the lot and whatever the prize was. Then all hell broke loose, the DJ got out, started playing do-do-do-do-do-do. And of course we're on to it, and then I'm in the DJ box, I'm singing Sweet Caroline, everybody's doing it. Tables getting kicked, there's a video kicking about it. It was great.
Well, you came 15th in a still game quiz?
Oh, aye. Came second in a pig bunning contest. Couldn't win it. They know the answers. They all knew the answers.
What, do you get pure fanatics, like scary fanatics?
Well, Amy McDonald, do you know the pop singer? She was on Mastermind, and it was her specialist subject.
Wow.
Still game. and she nearly won it.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else beat her than somebody, but that was a chosen subject.
Do you hang a bit together outside?
Well, we have done over the years. I mean, Greg and I were obviously extremely big, but then your family starts. We've been on holidays together. Oh, aye. We went to Turkey and Greg and I were away at the States a couple of years ago. In fact, we wrote the Hydro, the middle Hydro we wrote in Florida, you know, Florida, Los Angeles. We went away just for a fortnight to see if we could try and get a holiday and write the Hydro, and we did. We wrote the Hydro when we were away. And they said, we need to watch this, there's no cocktail umbrellas and whatnot. We go back and go, what the fuck are they on about? We're all in Los Angeles. But no, we did, and we're still pals, we're all pals. Uh-huh.
Do you think when you meet people that expect you to be funny? Because of the way you are on the show? You get that?
When you meet people...
Expect you to be funny?
I'm telling you one thing, this has got to stop.
It's stopped in who?
Can we cut and we have a wee 5-minute chat?
Well, I'm carrying. I don't mind telling you. No, I think the spark that we've found between us today
is a show
in the making.
So this, see, when you asked for a scene at the start, he's been playing it. You didn't realise he's been playing it for the last 30 minutes.
I know where this is going. I know where you and I are.
You could have played it back better, Slavy.
I thought you were going to get A-turn already. Dundee and Stranraer. The Glasgow boy, I thought we would have been sorted.
The Glasgow scheme boy.
Anderson. I see. Tough tune, I know.
Tough, innit?
Aye. We could add a different show. We really didn't need these two interlopers.
Nah.
You know what I mean?
We are because they are
technically. Where is it you're from?
Stranraer.
Strange place.
I'm dying for
you played
down
there.
Wait a minute here. We're talking about a strange place.
Where's Stranraer go? Is it mussels and milks?
We've got oysters.
Oysters. I knew it was something.
Have you played
Big Oyster there? Festival.
Have I played? No, I've been in Stranraer a few times.
Probably for the boat to get out.
Well, oh, that's the reason I'm going to strike that. You're right enough.
New Year's, Lenny, do you usually watch the
Never.
Never watched it.
I don't know if it's on at New Year. They've put it on every other New Year. We only did, I think, about 3 or 4 Christmassy New Year special things. So,
was there ever an episode that you hated then?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
No, there were sketches that I didn't like. There was one I really didn't want to do. I didn't want to be the big man's maw. But they thought it was a good idea. So, apart from anything else, because I had to go and get dressed up as a big man's maw. It was a sketch whereby the big man was trying to get a dolly that everybody was wanting that year for Christmas, and the big man's boys come in to sort it out, and I'm the big man's boss. So it was a double part in the one sketch. It was murder police, because I was about, I had a big thing on, like, a big hat on, it looked like a heed of hair and the boobs and all that. It was mental, and I was sweating like a pig. I didn't even idea it, but I'd done it and it turned out all right, and everybody liked it. Mm-hmm. But there's no shows I didn't want to know, no, I've loved them all.
Oh, do you know my favourite Villers actor?
Brilliant.
What is it, five guys named Bob?
Five guys named Mo.
Mo ahead.
That's a pal of mine, that guy.
Was he a terrible actor?
No, but it's his voice, and he's not. He did tipple years ago and made an argument about it. But it's just that, you know, that's right, I'll try that, right, okay. Yeah, so you don't want that, right? So, right, so that mean you want me, right, no. So it's just that constant being on your toes all the time and being rotten. And we just started it as a kind of ad lib thing, and then it just grew into a monster. It was like,
There's a loads of sketches that you would try that didn't make it to the TV scene.
Yep.
That you maybe, like, say, for example, you've caught a sketch with you and Greg and you thought, right, this'll work.
Aye.
You've tried it and it didn't make it, but you thought, should have made it.
Loads of that.
Loads of that.
Aye.
And think that'll ever, think things like that will ever come to.
No, no, I stood and watched them all burnt. I stood and watched all the tapes all burnt. They'll never surface again.
Nah.
We did two hillbillies. I think one of them made through. We did two hillbilly characters that lived in a caravan and, they were just waiting for visitors coming. And what we would do is strip the skin off them and wear their skins. And we recorded one of them. We had a suit made with a willy on it and everything. Right? With the hair growing out of the chin and all that. And we were pushing ourselves into it, but the bosses were like, ah, they two are off their head. That's no right. We did two film producers called Flockenbecker and Flockenbecker. He was a boy and I was a grandfather. And he would come in with a shite idea every week. And I'd say, right, what's your big idea? What you got for me this week? Tell me you got something we can make into a movie. And he says, it's a great idea, Dad. We got a big fish and it's terrorizing everybody. You're like, what? this is your idea? So the BBC went like, no, they're not fair enough. So that was a gag every week. He'd come in and go, you know, tell us a fucking film that's already been out, you know. It's a writer who has to be in a hotel on his own in the middle of nowhere and he starts killing his family. What? You know what I mean? It's not been done. So there was stuff we had to redo. We had loads of material. The beginning of Tune of Fat, we were writing most of it. By the end of it, we were writing hardly any of it.
Did he ever thank you for the family? That was...
Aye.
That's fair as
that was another thing. We go at that. We always went a storm, right? We just had a great idea. Let's get... I don't think you get any of these things, but there was a lot of people with them in the 90s. You know, you're getting...
They help you.
And God, what's that? They're doing a fucking filler shave up at their neck. So we wrote the sketch, and I think the producer said, nah, it's not right on that, is it? You know, people with throat cancer. And I'm like, well, can we do it? So we sent to the medical people that make the machines and asked them, could we hire them for television? Four of them. For me, Greg, and Karen Barty using that. And they never asked us what for. I think they thought we were making a health advert.
Fair, huh?
Well, when they fun out, they wrote back and says, we don't like this at all. But, because we boxed them all back up and sent them back, but they went, no, you've misrepresented this year. They weren't happy. The number of made us take them off, but we eventually slowed down on them because of our... It's not right, is it? But
yeah.
So what I'm saying, that a lot of the stuff in June, in fact, you could have put in.
How come Camden Barn never went on to Still Game?
Well, there seemed to be... What had happened was Still Game was a play at the festival, and it was only me, Paul Riley and Greg Hempel, and that was it. It was supposed to be, Bobby the barman was supposed to be Winston, but he couldn't come and do the play because he was doing something else. So really that's not how it should have worked. Wow. It should have been Gavin. Then as we moved on, we had to have a Gabby woman. We had to have a woman that was able to take your story and move it into the rest of the community. So we knew Jane for the other stuff. And we'd been in another thing we had years before as well on TV called Pulp Video. So we knew she was a go-to. But during the fact, we didn't need another woman because Karen was everybody.
Yeah.
She was the old shopkeeper. She was Dirty Old Betty. There's another thing.
Dirty Old Betty was
you
good.
You couldn't have Dirty Old Betty in it. Oh, my good Lord.
My favourite one she done was the science teacher when kids would always ask her willies and stuff like that, and she would fucking...
Well, that was her own invention. She definitely come up with that voice and all the mannerisms and weird catchphrases come out of that. You know, don't speak to me unless your neck's the same colour as your face and all that. And do you know, cracking me. Karen's a scream. And also a Shakespearean actress, I might add.
Wow.
She just done last year 300 performances of all Britain of Shakespeare. You forget that.
Yeah. Right, the countdown's coming soon. Have you got anything you want to ask him? Because
I'm petrified to ask him.
Where do you want that?
Go on, ask him.
It's
sorry.
A new year, why not?
I'm getting into the new year.
Uh-huh.
A fucking shivering wreck.
Have you and Greg ever fell out?
Aye. Well, no, majorly, but we fell out because not as much fell out as we could. We just couldn't do any more than we'd done. By the time we got to 2006, oh man, they were asking us to do 9 at a time instead of 6 and all that carry on. And you weren't getting a chance to enjoy. I suppose it's the same in football. When you're in the middle of it, you're doing something. Every time you try to enjoy you can't really because you've got to get back to form.
Give it the next thing,
you can't go right off the rails. So we just felt as if we were doing that. So we were sniping about it. And I wanted to go one way, you wanted to do other things. And we went, right, let's just dump this now. And that lasted for 6 years, I think. And then, because they built that hydro.
Yeah.
And then we went, I wonder if we could get enough people to go inside that hydro and watch us coming back. And that's what we've done.
See there when you're talking about like you're doing six, then you're doing nine, do you feel like your performances would have dropped if you did more, or was it like, did you think it became more of like an effort?
No, it wasn't the effort, it was just that we weren't, it was that thing we felt we were going at full steam, really enjoying the work, and we weren't getting any time for ourselves.
Aye.
You could, and then we were going on holiday together because we were writing, mm-hmm. we were coming back today, so it was all getting a bit, everybody was in everybody's pocket, aye. You know, when that talk about bubbles, that was a bubble, you know. We were just going to get out to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe all right for me, I was a bit older, I'm 7 years older than Greg. But no, we got married, around about the, had the weddings around about the same time, everything was going along great, it's good.
One of the Hug Me Still games, back in time to show the character at your own age, is that something you always wanted to do?
To go back in time? Aye. Uh-huh. By the time I went back in time, I still didn't look right when I went back, I still look old. But I thought Paul Riley had a pair of him, it was hilarious. They kept that back and showed us that as a reveal. You know, rather than, we weren't all walking about at lunchtime, we didn't see, some of the things we didn't see until we actually opened the
on
door.
Camera,
and the director was enjoying the reveals, you know, because Sanjeev had big flares on for the 70s and that, and I met a rotten jumper. The way we treat Sanjeev in that, this, we treat him, we tried to look back at what the racial relationship situation was like back then. So when we opened the door up to, we were going, this door not for you, you go other door. Because people in the 70s did speak like that to Asians, you know what I mean? You're thinking that's ridiculous. So we made a point of highlighting all that. So that was what was funny for us. And of course, Isa, with a big chest and all that, and a slinky dress on, and then doing nothing nearly at the end of the episode.
It's weird to see Jane without her eyes on. She's quite pretty, isn't she?
Oh, she's good. She's good looking, Jane. And of course, she had to take her clothes off. She had to just get down to her knickers for the last scene. That was a carry-on because one of the guys who died, with a guy that worked with us that died, Ronnie Lethem, who's a legend in the acting world. And what had to happen here? I think it was Tam had to foil the couch at some point and kick Ronnie Lethem right in the stones. Ronnie was the well at the time. He said, oh, right in the onion bag. You know what I mean? We couldn't get a day's work done for it because he was old, you know, and fucking Coxie's got big shoes outside. You know, I'll fucking bring the balls. She was doing her knickers and she maintains to this day that was a body double that did that, wasn't it?
It was her.
It was her. She was a game.
That's your favourite scene, isn't it?
Love that. Fucking magic.
You're getting on
brilliant. You remind me of Coxie a wee bit. You've got the same kind of manner. Seriously, mannerism. Yeah. In real life, though.
Aye.
Coxie's funny, aye. He's got a...
That's him that plays Tam?
Aye.
Yeah.
He's very dry now.
You're not happy with that. You want to be a bigger one, don't you?
No, I'm buzzing there.
No, you better listen. If you were half as funny as Mark Cox is in real life, he's an absolute screamer. A great delivery.
Yes, it's a new year countdown now. Now, my favourite part of Open Goal 2020 was... Brooke, absolute star. Have you heard her for?
I'm in a terrible state. It's the apprehension here. It's a countdown. I'm always getting super excited before a countdown starts. You know what starts? The worst thing that happens is my hair almost starts shaking like that. See if I've got to, you know, I've got to hide myself doing it with whatever furniture number or I just start going. So just go on, mate. I'm desperate to get the countdown. I wish to Christ it was that new. Has it started yet?
Wait till you hear it. Right, we're ready then. So that's 10 seconds to go now.
Oh,
so 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That was
wow.
So good.
Well done, Brooke.
By the way, you're not a bad chanter, eh?
You know what I'm up to, yeah.
As long as you can drown the guitar out, you're all right.
Do you know another thing I wanted to ask you? What about the accents? How do you get so good at that?
My mum used to do accents all the time in the house. She'd say, it's a fuck all if I'm eating. But we just used to copy the things off the tellies. And she'd try and do an American accent or an Italian accent. And we'd try and copy one, not that we go to it right. I don't know why she was doing that. Didn't want to be an actor. I wasn't an actor. Didn't do any of the school things or anything like that. But I don't know, there was nothing to do. There were no internet, there were no... The Etch-A-Sketch was my laptop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was all we had. So we just... My voices just always appealed to me. I always liked American TV and English TV. And you've either got an ear for it. It's now that I've just remembered that I'm going to tell you this. It's no my joke. I heard that it's for the 70s, but it's a cracking thing. The guy's in... A guy who's into butchers, right? He's into his butcher shop. He says, I'll take a steak pie. He says, I cut a pound of sausages. And he can see right away that the lassie behind the counter quite likes the look of him, you know? And he knows that. He's well-dressed. And he goes, he says, I see you looking at me there. He says, what are you, Jenk? She went, I don't know. She says, what, are you 40? He went, no. He says, I'm 55. She went, 55? She went, Agnes. She went, what age do you think that guy is? Well, she went, I don't know, 38, 39. 55. She went, fuck's sake, 50. Oh, she looks good, didn't he? He's like, look after myself, you know, a bit of jogging and that, and the rest of it. She went, you certainly don't. And she went, that's amazing. Gets his steak pie and his sausages away at the door. Starts raining. She's like, oh, we went to a bus stop. There's a wee woman sitting in the bus stop out in the rain, sitting next to the woman. Hello, darling. She goes, hello, son. And he says, what are you up to today? She went, oh, I'm having a smashing day today. She says, I'm 80 years old today. He went, congratulations. He says, what are you going to do? She says, well, I've got a cake for me back at the home. She says, there's going to be an accordion player, probably a guitar player. She says, we'll have a wee dance, not a wee sing, so it's going to be marvellous. He says, that's good. He says, what do you think, Emma? And she went, no, she says, I'm not really any good at that, son. He says, no, have a go. She went, no, I wouldn't want to insult you. She said, well, there's only actually one way. She says, I can tell what age you are. She says, if you let me put my own down the front of your trousers, she says, I'll be able to tell you. He went, eh? She went, aye, well, it's every time. So he looks about in her neighbour there, and he goes, aye, all right, on you go. Go. So the woman goes, she goes, is that right, good route about? And she goes, you're 55. And he went, how the fuck do you know that? She says, I'm a story behind you in the butchers.
Yes.
Not a couple of hundred yards away from this very place we're in. We're at the corner of the bank, the Clydesdale Bank, me and Greg, right? And but it's before still game, so nobody knows who we are. We're just doing sketches for Tune of Fat. Nobody knows who we are. So the joke was that we get into the bank and there's a guy in a queue wanting by me. I'm stunned and I'm an old man, I'm Jack. And the guy's going, for goodness sake, I'm stunned in the queue. Shut up, I'm saying. And I get to the counter and I open my bag and it's 300 quid worth of one pencies for the guy to count. That's a joke, right? There's always some old bastard in front of you fighting all that done when you're only in, right? So that's fine. So the guy's like, it's getting too warm in here. The lights are too warm. He's like, everybody will need to get out of the bank and go and stone in the street to get the air in and get the lights on again. So we go out in the street. Of course, I'm smoking. Greg's smoking as well at the time. And we're stoning at that fence down there. This old dame comes up to starts chatting. He's up. I am not kidding you, right? Hot as you like, right? She's about 70 odds. Oh, she's like, oh, man, it's nice weather. What are they doing in the bank? And I'm like, I said to Greg, she doesn't get the first idea that we're now in our 70s here. No, look, it's happening, right? And I went, oh, no, they're filming something there. I don't know what it is. Some carry on. You know what they're like? They're like these bloody film crews coming on fucking filming and all that. She says, pain in the arse. She says, what are you up to yourself, says I. She says, oh, I'm getting up to my, I just live up there. She says, she points up to a window. She says, I mean, you're more than welcome, both of you, if you want to come up. She says,
no way.
She says, oh, I'm going to de-steep my feet. We could all steep our feet. She says, oh, I'm thinking, whoa. So she said, come up, she's got all the coffee and all that. And I went, we're actually getting asked to go up to a bird's house at 75 year old. So the director came in, what's going on here? We're like, but honestly, and we started to think, is there a total subculture of 70 somethings? Oh, Nick and about
one. What are they all?
Oh, Steve and his feet together.
But that was a sketch on Tune the Fat, wasn't it? Jack invited her.
Aye.
Why was it that one you picked to go into a show?
What do you mean?
Like, so why is it the two characters that you thought would be a spin-off?
Oh, I see. Oh, sorry, I get what you mean. Aye. Well, when to work out, they said to us, do you want to do a sitcom? And we said, aye. And we kind of thought about doing Royal Villiers as a sketch show, but I didn't. We thought the strongest two people in the show were Jack and Victor. Plus, we'd done a play with them already.
Right.
So, and Winston had been in it in play. So we thought, that's the one that's got the teeth on it. Yeah. You know, that's the one that will grow and grow and grow. And then we just started building up the community the way The Simpsons does. We had Isa, Naveed, built them all out. And right out to Methadone Mick and Peter Jakey, Jake Darcy, who died. Yeah. But they loved him and all. They loved Jakey.
Yeah. He's a hero.
You know, absolutely. Hero, aye.
Oh, a legend.
So everybody was represented and everybody done a great job of representing ourselves. But no, we had some great laughs and mad things with hangovers and that, having to get into the sea. You remember that one we went to Shitey Finport?
Mm-hmm.
It was some seaside resort. It was a right shite hole, and we went to looking for Winston because he'd run away to it. Well, we had a terrible hangover. We'd actually get into the sea in that one. Oh. And stone up, it was murder. We were in the water all the time. And
I watched that one.
Why are we doing that? We're writing it.
I watched that one last week when you were sailing down the sea in the dinghy.
In the dinghy, have we done that?
I was just there, wasn't it? McKelvin?
Aye, and the funny bit of that one was when he started waving at everybody. It was like the people on the embankment, the Neds and all that, and then fucking some gorgeous woman was just sitting on the bank.
It was a mermaid. And then there was people graduating for university in a locomotive train and all
that.
And then
the train, and then it was the safari part. That was right. It was brilliant.
Aye, well, the idea was Greg and I had bought, I went up to Costco and I bought a dinghy for a tenner, and that included two paddles. So, and a wee thing to go like that with it. And it was for a wane, it was for a swimming pool, right? Because it was only about the size of this table, I'm not kidding you. And we were sitting one day and we said, could you go down the Kelvin in our dinghy? And we two went, nah, it's not possible, too many rocks. So we got in the car and we drove our way up through Maryhill, and we looked at wee bits of the Kelvin. I went, nah, you couldn't get from here to the Clyde, because it goes around there and it goes around there. So I said, fuck it. Went to Costco, bought a dinghy, and me and him went in it ourselves, just me and him, went down past these private houses, sneaked through the garden, stuck it in the water, and me and him get into it, right? And we get right down, and we come right down past Kelvin Dale, right down, we go to the Big Blue, you know where the Big Blue is? Right at that bit down there, and a shopping trolley tore the arse right out of it, and the two of us ended up in the water. I went to go and get injections for Viles disease, because it's full of rat piss, that water. So when we said to the BBC, we want to go down to Kelvin in a dinghy. They went, it can't be done. And we went, well, we fucking done it 2 weeks ago. So they went, right. So they bought us a real dinghy and we done it with that. So.
Another one I loved was Stevie the Bookie Man.
Oh, Stevie.
Stevie. Ah, it's great. But that's the thing, you give Riley a bit of a dialogue and he'll do the right thing with it. He knows exactly. Because we didn't write that in.
Yeah.
That's Riley.
So that's what I was going to say. Do you let them go off script to her?
No, it's not off script exactly. You write the script down and then it's up to you how you interpret it. And Paul just lifted that right up into. There was a scene that we wrote where he was putting the bookies' pens right into the. Stevie the Bookie was putting the bookies' pens right in the hole just before Winston says, fuck, like that. You see, so he goes like, you are nothing but a dirty fuck. And the pen stops the noise for going through the holes. No. Well, we'd written that in, but we'd nae way I know how that was going to work to Riley get his hands on it and worked it up and got it running. Yeah. And then it became, everybody was talking about it. It's just great.
Amazing, man.
Brilliant,
isn't it? It's great to hear, isn't it?
Exhausted, isn't he?
No, I love it. Oh, I could certainly do.
I could listen all day.
And then,
do you enjoy talking about it?
No. No, of course I do. It's a highlight of my life.
Of course it is.
You know yourself, you might not know, but you know when you're good at something, you know, you feel good when you're doing it. And you get a lot of feedback about it. It's a marvellous feeling.
Oh, you're right. You do know fuck all about football. Do you miss it then?
I miss the performance party, aye. And I miss the stage shows are always a scream. They're the biggest thing. That's you getting to be in a pop group at that level. Once you've played the bigger room like that, it's like being in the Beatles.
So have you got advice for us for the Hydro?
You're playing the Hydro, aren't you? Yeah.
Sold out, 5 minutes.
Quicker than still games.
That's for the opening of the, what is it for? It's
open goal.
Open goal.
So you've actually done, and you've set a place out?
Aye.
That's phenomenal.
The funny thing is,
you after a couple of minutes, you do genuinely forget that they're there. I mean, you can hear them shouting, get fucking half, you're rotten. Well, that'll be your thing. Yours was, we love you and that, but I don't know how that'll go. I heard it, fuck off. And you that kind of thing, but you just want to bounce.
See a proper fucking, could you sit in the front row of the Hydro gig, please?
I'll come down to keep all that. I'll come as a big man and keep it down for you. Please. I'll look after you.
You can't come because I'll
look after
you. No, in all seriousness, you talk about what running on your football parks and your great stadiums for sport and all that. It must be like that. I would equate it with that. It's like being a pop star. It's otherworldly. When you move on and you're looking at all the people and you go, oh, well, they've all decided they're taking time out of their day to come and see me here doing this. You owe it to be shiting yourself.
Wow. Aye, that's a good
Were you nervous, eh?
What?
Were you nervous?
No. You did. The first time, but we're all shiting it, of course, because the one we did in 2014, we'd been away for 7 years and hadn't done a curdy.
Yeah.
You open the curtain and there they all are.
waiting.
11,000 eyes all staring at you. Go! You know, but it's funny, it's different for a club. You can hear shouting and that, screaming, people getting stabbed and that, but it's in the distance.
People getting stabbed.
It's all right.
Here's a brilliant question. How did you take that, the show every Friday night, onto the stage? Was that really difficult? Please understand me.
I do understand you. Are you worried about it?
Oh,
well, you don't need well, we'd written a play before, right? We'd written a play before, so we know, and we're actors. We've been acting a long time and still going, so you kind of know what works in the space of a couple of hours. You know, be on something for too long, you know, like dragging out a thing. You don't want to drag a thing out.
Didn't happen to me all fucking show.
You don't want to just keep hammering away at something, you're not getting any results, mate. But so you try and modify that down and build your wee show. I'm sure if you've sold the tickets, that's the one thing you need to remember, right?
Aye.
See, your comedian shites it, right? He goes out and he goes, how you all doing? Anybody in for Paisley? That fucking sweat rolling down the back of his neck. All that. But that's no, you've no to worry about that, you see, because they've came because they like you.
What we do,
so that's the point. They're no there to shout, you're rotten, and she likes you, but I fucking think you're a dick. You don't get any of that. I've been dragged along here. They're all there because they like you. So you just go, and the minute you go on the stage, try your level best. Don't worry.
Enjoy yourself, innit?
Just enjoy yourself, because it's the best time you'll have without Iron Brew.
Right, there's a time you never enjoyed yourself. Scorsese on Gangs of New York. No, I'm making an absent.
I'm not going to tell the story of mountains. I'd said cut when I shouldn't have said cut on his film. It was a lot of setup going on. It was cabbages. It was about 400 cabbages getting through about. There was wains hanging off of buildings and people shouting and bawling and running. Fire trucks and fire, gas, everything. And I wasn't even in the shot. It was on my shoulder. And action and all that started. And hundreds of people. And I didn't like what I'd said. I said the word, the wrong line. I just turned on the camera and went like, cut. And everybody went, fuck me. So all the stuff was just lying about. And the assistant director came over and went, you don't say cut. You weren't even in the shot. It was just your shooting. It was... wait. Because I just came off a tune of fat. And I've been used to... Me and Gregor used to go, oh, that's not working. Just do that again. And I'd just been finished doing that. And I just was in the way. Big £200 million film and I'm not, it's just this bit. Blah, blah, blah. I can't be shy, just shut. So I met Scorsese came out and he went, I say cut for, do you? I was like, it wouldn't even matter if he'd come out and slap me. I was just that excited to be in his company. So I got 5 minutes out and I spoke to him for 5 minutes, lovely. Got a photo with him,
wow.
Which he wasn't allowed.
So what was the connection with him putting you in Gangs of New York?
All my family on the mafia. That answer your fucking question.
Fuck him, asked you.
No,
did you audition like?
I did, made an arse. I was supposed to be playing P.T. Barnum, the circus owner. That's what I was auditioning for. It was a big long speech, and I practiced it. I had a moped at the time, me and Greg had mopeds, and I had a hat on, all around mugged up part, trying to internalise this big monologue, and I couldn't get it in. I got to the interview, made a total run of others at the interview, never got the job. Ended up saying to Greg, can you film me in my living room? And I said on the camera, whose arse have you got to kiss to get in one of your movies, Marty? And we sent him it, and it got to him, and he said, that's a cheeky kid. I was a kid at that time. I like that cheeky kid. You can give him a part. And I turned up, and I done my line, and then he came out and he went, can you change that to Irish? I went, I said, we've got enough Scotsmen. He said, we've got stacks of Scotsmen. I went, right, okay. And changed it to Irish.
Eh?
So it's an experience of life. That's that's the thing I grabbed with House Goes on Fire. That 40 of me and Scorsese.
Scorsese, wow. Been amazing, thanks very
much. Get around you! Made it all the way through! Yes!
We've stopped at the scene now.
Oh, the scene, what scene was it? Who do you want me to be in this scene?
Right, come on, let's go.
Why don't you be his dad?
Eh?
His dad's about a legend
George,
on this show.
Pretend you're George.
Why don't we, you've been in
put
trouble for something. I don't know, maybe you've went to a country or something and...
I've been naughty.
Right, what have you... Right, and am I your dad here?
No, just say that. You're the man that does it. You've been in Gangs of New York. You do the script and I play a line. Let's go.
You want me to write a script?
Improv.
Just a wee quick one.
Right, okay.
Let's see how good you are. Let's go. Cut.
Right, okay.
Cut
action,
and stop.
Action.
Right, okay, so you're the main.
He's your boy.
You're the boy, right. Okay, well, the reason I'm actually in here, sit back comfortably.
Sorry.
Yeah, I know you're wanting to go up the stairs and try all your sister's clothes on again, but I'm not wanting you to do that. I'm wanting you to explain to me why it is you've not got a partner in your life. A nice partner, because everybody you've been bringing to the house has been assholes. Who are you looking at the new sexual-wise in the future? And it's only a father asking a question of a boy that I'm genuinely interested in your future. What are you going to do about it? Don't interrupt me when I'm talking. What I'm asking you straightforward is, are you or are you not at the moment involved in some sort of sexual liaison with somebody that lives in the neighbourhood around here? Just a straight yes or no. Don't answer me in the no because I don't want to hear you. The other point is, your room's a bastard of a mess and I'm not that tidy up. The scud books, I mean, people don't use scud books anymore, but you, for some reason,
I was a fucking never asked this.
So, I want a straight answer. Do you have a partner? Shut up just now, because... Right, on you go, you can tell me.
I want us to do a show now. So is that the scene for it? I don't know. I didn't realise it was going to be fucking training for 5
what's
minutes.
What's it called, Big Daddy and the Dummy? What's it going to be? Yeah. Hey, Arnold, you fucking put my horn up here, Jake. Stop your arm for shaking your
come on, let's go and get a wee drink. Let's go and get a wee drink together. It's been a cracking year, isn't it?
No, I've enjoyed myself.
Have you actually?
I have.
I fucking...
No, I was a bit worried about coming because you do speak very quickly, but I thought to myself, I'll try and
do it. Nah, you're excellent.
Want your predictions what will occur between now and this time next year. So, who will be the Scottish champions?
Celtic.
Wow. Just say anyone.
Anyone? What might you say?
Jaggy Thistle.
Can I? Do you want me to say a Rangers turn? I don't know what you're supposed
I'm
to say.
I'm going to say Rangers.
Has Rangers got a chance of doing that?
Rangers are
not. The Rangers are selling. I'm definitely sure it'll be 182. I know. I'm almost convinced it'll be 182.
Yeah. Rangers sure. Sigh for me.
Okay. He's right. And what did you say? You said Celtic. He's right. He's fucking bang on with that. Honestly, you'd be wasting your time. On you go.
How far will Scotland go in the Euros?
Right up to the end, I would imagine they would probably go. That the right answer?
Good
right.
answer.
Slaying it.
Is this football? Is it still football?
This football? Is football, right. Sorry, mate. Right.
Semi-finals.
Kev.
Hopefully, Si out the group.
Out the group, okay. Who will be the hero of the tournament?
Oh, there's, well, I do know the answer to.
James Forrest.
I think James Forrest, he's a standout for me, Jay.
Right.
Who do you play for?
The heroes.
Celtic again, is it?
Hero to him as in like Scotland's hero?
Yeah.
John McGinn.
Okay.
I like John McGinn too. That's a
right, so you want John McGinn?
Again? What?
Who'd she play with again?
No, in fact, Kieran Tierney.
You've won the Holy Cup and don't keep tearing the Holy Cup now.
The Majesty's home for the blind. And will Open Goal break Still Games' record run of 21 run shows at the Hyde?
Well, absolutely. That's what I was going to ask you. How long are you there for?
One night.
Listen, one night's enough. See, once you've established that you're there, the first chance that you get, that's the only advice I would give, the first chance that you get to do it again, dick in, because it's the best feeling in the world. It's better than anything else. I'm not.
What do you mean the better? What, while you're doing it or after?
No. I mean, if you get the chance, you're obviously doing it, you've sold all your tickets. If there's any chance of getting back into that Hydro again, you must try as soon as you can to orchestrate being there again, because there's nothing like it. And to have it have happened to you in your life is a great thing.
Amazing. Right, thanks very much for joining us, our guest, Ford Kiernan. Enjoy the rest of the celebrations. That's and remember, like, comment, and subscribe to Open Goal YouTube channel. Are you gonna subscribe?
I'm going to subscribe as soon as I know how to do that.
But New Year's meant to be the happiest day. I feel I'm going to start greeting. It's been the hardest day of my life.
Look, the way you look at these ears, I saw that on the thing. The way you look at these ears is therapeutics. That's what you're getting. You're getting mental therapeutics.
Yeah.
It's been
what
tough.
Have you learned today?
You stay know. Out of the media.
Stay out of this line of trade. It's no fun you. You were obviously designed to go straight to the Hydro. You're Hydro material.
Thanks very much.
Right, we're going to end it with the best, though. Brooke's going to sing again.
Mister, your eyes are full of hesitation. Sure makes me wonder if you know what you're looking for. Baby, I wanna keep my reputation. I'm a sensation. You try me once, you're back for more.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.